Come on, 15 more seconds. Just lift up some praise to God. Jesus. Oh, we love you, Jesus. Come on, let me pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you're here. We thank you that in your presence is the fullness of joy. We thank you that you're going to move tonight and you're going to speak to your people in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Come on, lift up one more shout of praise. Woo! Come on, so good. You guys can grab your seats. Before the band goes, who here loved worship, praise and worship tonight? How epic was that? I wanted to show you a new toy that we have. This is the percussion section. Oh, yeah. Sam, how did you find playing percussion tonight?
Super black. I loved it.
That's crazy. Show us what you can do, Sam. Just show us what the different things are. Oh. Hey. Woo. That was beautiful. Give it up for Sam. Come on. So good. You guys can go. Thank you, team. Amazing. You guys doing well tonight? I'm so glad. I'm doing very well. Thanks for asking. I heard Sydney whisper it. Tonight, we are in for a treat because we have such an amazing term theme. Who's been loving this term so far? Yes, I've been so blessed. Who here has been loved last week the extra connect time? Oh, yeah. If you weren't here, you missed out. We had an hour of Connect. Who here knows their Connect leader better this week than they did last week? Oh, 2 weeks ago. Yeah? See, lots of hands. Who here knows people in their Connect better now than they did 2 weeks ago? Oh, that is so good. That blesses my heart. Come on. Well, we are speaking about the joy of the Lord this term, and I just love it because I just love being happy, being joyful. I feel like it's so much more fun than a term on depression. So, we're gonna jump straight in to the Word of God. Someone say the Word of God. Anyone got a physical sword with them? Oh, yeah. How good. Well, you can open it up to the book of Acts, chapter 3. I'll take some time so you can find your way. It's in the New Testament. Anyone know what book it's after? John, let's go. Anyone know what book it's before? Come on. We got some Bible-believing Christians. I feel like you have to put an accent on like that, sound like, I don't know, someone. We're going to read Acts 3, verse 1 to verse 10. You guys ready? I think we should stand for the Word of God. So why don't we all stand on our feet? Hayden Mitchell was the first. He gets the prize. Unlucky, unlucky. No, there's no prize. Acts 3, verse 1 to 10. And it says, one day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 p.m. Now, a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful. What a great gate name. Where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." How good. Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly, someone say instantly. The man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him, someone say all. When they all saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. There it is again. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Give the Word of God some praise. Come on. And you can take your seat. You can take your seat. Tonight, I'm going to preach a word that God has put on my heart. And he placed the sermon title in my heart before giving me anything else, which was mighty inconvenient. But what I'll tell you is the sermon title tonight is this: A Chalant Christian. Come on. A Chalant Christian. Let's go. I feel like I should just pray. I feel like we should pray before we get too deep. So take your photos and then we can... Hey, Amy's mom. Close your eyes. I'm going to pray. Thank you, Jesus, that we get to be at youth tonight. We thank you, Lord God, for the word. I thank you, Jesus, that you're in this place. And I pray, Father, would every single person encounter the joy of the Lord afresh tonight? Would people be set free? Would people be delivered? I pray, God, would people encounter your joy in Jesus' name? And everyone said, amen. Amen and amen. A chalant Christian. Has anyone heard the term nonchalant before? Yeah, most of us. Most of us. All the old people didn't put their hands up. They don't know what it means. Aaron, who's not here online, he didn't put his hand up as well. Oh, he's here. Where? Oh, I see him. He's running in. Give it up for Aaron. Woo! Aaron, a quick question. Do you know what nonchalant means? Well, you've stumped me. Come on, let's give it up for Aaron, I guess. He's younger than we realize. It's the moisturizer he was telling me. The definition of nonchalant, if you didn't know, is to be carefree, uninterested, or to lack enthusiasm. You know, nonchalant refers to someone who, no matter what happens, they show that they are calm and that they do not care, which is crazy. Does anyone know some people like that? Don't point at them. Don't point. Don't point. Because, you know, the altar call is going to be full of them anyway, so we'll all know who they are. So it doesn't matter. I'm joking. I'm joking. Wow. Thank you. Nonchalant. 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 All throughout school, I don't know if you guys have noticed this in your schools, but there are some people who like to be nonchalant. Anyone have some people in their schools who like to be nonchalant? Yep. All the guys not putting their hands up because they're the guys in their school. Come on. I'm just playing. But I'm sure we've all seen those people around who walk around like they don't really care about what's going on. You know, they might get an F on their test. You wouldn't even notice. They might get an A on their test. You also wouldn't notice. You could have given them a free car and they're like, oh, thanks. Or, you know, they could have been going through something crazy. You know, I don't know, sickness in their family, whatever. And they'll just be like, oh, yeah, it's all right. It's crazy how these people who are nonchalant, just like I said before, are carefree, uninterested, or lack enthusiasm, and it shows that they don't care. And throughout school, for me, our culture is that that's good, right? Our culture is that people who are nonchalant, you know, the cool kids, people want to be like them, people want to have that sort of respect that those nonchalant people have. And in school, no one really wants to stand out. No one wants to, you know, get picked on for being loud. And so for me, when I went to school, wasn't too long ago, I always wanted to fit in. I always didn't want to, you know, be the odd one out. I wanted to just be in the middle. Although I'm extroverted, like I love to be around people. I love to, you know, make jokes. I love to, you know, just be around people. But I don't love necessarily the attention being around me. You know, I'm happy to, you know, have a good time with people, but I don't like it being about me. But when I was in school, I was so afraid because I wanted to fit in. I wanted people to think of me as just a regular dude like everyone else. I didn't want to be any different to anyone else. And so when I got saved, this made it a bit more challenging because I knew God's word said to go and tell people about Jesus. In his word, he said that is our assignment, to go and to, you know, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so when it came to my faith in school, I'd be all in on a Friday, but the second that I had to be an odd one out in school, I would sort of rein it back in a little bit. You know, for me, my family isn't really Christian, and so I was afraid of what my parents would think if I was, you know, praying in tongues at the top of my voice in my bedroom, or, you know, if I was reading the Bible on the couch, I'd be afraid of what my parents would think. You know, I was nervous to invite my friends to youth, and I would dress the same, I would do all the same activities, speak the same, go to the same parties as everyone else so that I could fit in. I'm sure we all feel these issues, you know, like, I'm sure it's not just me. I'm sure there's all been times where you've been in your school and you've just wanted to fit in with everyone else. You just wanted to make sure that you're liked at school. You know, you want to make sure that you've got some good friends and you're fitting in nicely. I don't know if you've ever moved to a new school before, but that can be extremely challenging as well, trying to meet new people. But the problem is, being nonchalant is evidence that we care more about what man thinks than about what God thinks. Being nonchalant is evidence that we care more about what man thinks than about what God thinks. And I believe tonight that God is going to be breaking off the fear of man. God is going to be setting some people free. I believe that Jesus is going to enter this room and he's going to meet with you and he's going to set you free from your bondage. He's going to set you free from that fear, from that anxiety you may feel, just like he did for me. And so we're going to read this scripture again from Acts chapter 3. We're going to go from verse 6. You've already got the context, so we'll keep rolling. Acts 3 verse 6 to 10 says, "Then Peter said, 'Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk.' Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped up to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him." Now, I'm going to read this passage a few times throughout this sermon, but when we look at this passage, we see that this beggar was not nonchalant at all. He was someone who would have tried to fit in. He would have just been someone sitting, who was brought to the gate Beautiful. He just wanted to fit in, get some coins as people would walk in for the time of prayer. You know, in those days, people would often, you know, make fun of people who were lame or couldn't walk or who were crippled. And so he just tried to fit in. He was just trying to make a simple living by begging, asking for money. But then he was met with the power of God. He got healed. And he instantly jumped up to his feet and began to walk. And you can see by his response, he no longer cared what the people thought about him. But it says he jumped up, he leaped, and he praised God. And the joy of the Lord actually came and met him in that moment, at that point of his faith. On the opposite side, Peter as well. He was not nonchalant. He was, I guess you could say, chalant. And he walked in and he saw him. And he didn't even ask Peter for healing. He didn't ask for, "Oh, could you tell me about Jesus?" He was like, "Hey, have you got any money?" And Peter did what Peter does in the chapter before, and he just shares the gospel of Jesus, and he's like, "Hey, do you want to be healed? Do you want to be made well?" And so I've got a definition for you of a chalant Christian. A chalant Christian is someone who is passionate, faith-filled, and expectant for God to move. A chalant Christian is someone who cares more about what God thinks than about what man thinks. I don't know about you, I want to be a chalant Christian. I want to be a chalant Christian. I want to be someone who cares more about what Jesus is saying to me, who cares more about what God is saying to me than about what people might be thinking or people might be saying. I don't know about you, but the God of the universe, if he's asking me to do something, I care more about his opinion than about what everyone else around me says. I want to be like this beggar who gets healed, touched by the power of God, doesn't care what happens, doesn't care who's around, but he gets up, he starts walking, leaping, and praising God. I don't know about you, but he wasn't in a mosh pit full of 300 people praising God. It was just him. It was just him. He was just there jumping around, praising God. And I want to be a chalant Christian. Say a chalant Christian. And so I've got some very amazing points for you as to how to be a chalant Christian. So get excited for that. Woo. So the first one is it's you never would have guessed. Are you ready? The first point is this: care more about what God thinks than about what man thinks. Come on. That verse that we've read it before, Acts 3 verse 8, he jumped to his feet, began to walk. Then he went with him into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. This man was a beggar 2 minutes ago, but now he's jumping around praising God. And he cared more about what God thought in that moment than what the people around him thought. You know, like I said a few moments ago, there was people that gathered around. There was, I don't know how many people that were there. I wasn't there, just letting you know. But it was a few, I can tell you that. More than three. And people gathered around and they began to praise God because they saw what had happened. They knew him to be the beggar. They knew that he was the man sitting at the gate beautiful who asked for money. And they saw what God had done and they began to praise with him. I want to pose us a question tonight. Do we care more about what God thinks or do we care more about what people think? Do we care more about what God thinks or more about what people think? Are we willing to be obedient to God even when it might look odd in front of people we don't know or even people that we do know? Are we willing to look like a fool in the eyes of man or loved in the eyes of God? You know, someone who was willing to look like a fool in the eyes of man, we sang about him earlier, his name was King David. Someone say King David. Does anyone know about King David? Yeah. Which one? The OG King David, the older one. You know, we sang that song, when the ark comes back to the city, this scripture is about, they made that song about this scripture. Just heads up, if you couldn't put two and two together. 2 Samuel 6, verse 12 to 15. Says this. Now King David was told, the Lord has blessed the household of Obed-Edom and everything he has because of the Ark of God. So David went to bring up the Ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with rejoicing. Someone say rejoicing. When those who were carrying the Ark of the Lord had taken 6 steps, he sacrificed a bull and a fattened calf. Wearing a linen ephod, David was dancing before the Lord with all his might, while he and all Israel will bring up the Ark of the Lord with shouts and the sound of trumpets. So that song that we sang, you know, when the Ark comes back to the city, when the Ark comes back to the street, I'm going to dance like David. This is David dancing right here in this scripture. If you didn't know, now you know. And so it says here, he's dancing before the Lord with all of his might. That's not a small dance, I'll tell you that. And he was wearing, it says here, a linen ephod. And he was the king. He had all these like priest, king robes and all of that stuff. And he'd taken that all off and he was wearing a simple linen ephod. And it just shows how David was so willing to get undignified before God that he didn't care what people were saying. He didn't care what people were thinking, but he knew that this is what God had led him to do. And so he was dancing around, praising God with everything he had. He was looking like a fool on the outside, but it was exactly what God had asked him to do. You know, David didn't care how much of a fool he looked. He just wanted to praise God. Even when his wife, Michal, or the confusing name, wife, confronted him about how he looked. But this is how David responded. 2 Samuel 6, 21 to 22, it says this. David said to Michal, it was before the Lord who chose me rather than your father or anyone from his house when he appointed me rule over the Lord, over the Lord's people Israel. I will celebrate before the Lord and I will become even more undignified than this and I will become humiliated in my own eyes. Isn't that crazy? David is there with his wife, who he knows well, and his wife's like, what the heck, you look like an idiot. And he's like, I don't care. I don't care if I look like an idiot. I would rather look like an idiot but loved in the eyes of God than look like the coolest dude out but far away from God. David had a revelation in his spirit that it was better to look like a fool for God than it was to look cool for the world. And I'm here to tell you tonight, that same revelation is available for us. It's not just for King David. It's not just for that beggar in Acts chapter 3, but it's for you tonight. It's time to stop thinking about what people think and start thinking and caring more about what God says. David cared more about what God thought than about what man thought. And in order to be a shalom Christian, In order to be a man or a woman after God's own heart, we need to care more about what God thinks than about what man thinks. Come on. That's point one. Point number two is this. We need to live a lifestyle of praise. Someone say praise. A lifestyle of praise. Acts 3:8, the same verse we read earlier. He jumped to his feet, began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. This man responded with a posture of praise that showed he didn't care what anyone thought. You know, we've figured that one out already. But he responded with praise. He responded with praise. Have you ever thought about why he did that? Ever thought, why would he respond with praise? He could have just been like, guys, I was healed. And then people would have been like, oh, that's awesome. And he probably wouldn't have looked like a fool. You ever thought about that? I haven't until now. It's a joke. I think everything through. Don't worry, Joe Gann. You know, this man responded with an attitude of praise. And I love that personally. You know, he was so in awe of God in that moment that he chose to respond out of praise. Did you know that praise is actually our key to breakthrough? Did you know that? You know that praise is a key to breakthrough. God, all throughout the Bible, chooses to use praise to deliver his people and to see them break through. You know, there's story after story of what God has done. You know, if you open up your Bibles to Joshua, there's a story of where God tells the people to walk around some walls seven times and then lift up a shout of praise and the walls come down. Isn't that crazy? You know, there's stories all throughout the Bible of people praising God. One that I love is in Acts chapter 16, verse 25 to 26. And it says this: about midnight, it's very late at night, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, someone say suddenly. There was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. You know, these guys were locked in a prison. They had been followed around by a demon-possessed girl. And Paul goes, cast the demon out because he was annoyed. And then they get sent to jail for that simple act of love to that lady. Get sent to jail. And they were busy people. They were on their way to do something. And so they're locked up in jail. It's about midnight. And what do? They could choose to complain. They could choose to be like, God, I can't believe you did this. Like, I'm a Christian. I'm in jail. I can't believe you've done this to me. Like, but no, they chose to act out of praise. They chose to respond out of praise. When these guys were locked in a prison, their praise had the power to break them free. It was their praise that broke the chains, that opened the doors, that shook the ground, that let them walk free. And I believe tonight that there are some people in this place who are in need of some freedom. Maybe you feel like you're bound up, locked up like Paul and Silas. Maybe you feel like you're trapped. There's nowhere you can go. I'm here to tell you tonight that we have the power of praise to break those chains. We have the power of praise to set you free. I believe it's by our praise that we are set free. You know, the Bible says these scriptures are going to be behind me. In Psalm 34, verse 1, I will praise the Lord at all times. I will constantly speak his praises. Hebrews 13, verse 15, therefore, let us offer through Jesus a continual sacrifice of praise to God. Psalm 150, verse 6, let everything that breathes sing praises to the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, we cannot let our situations determine our praise. We have to let our praise determine our situations. Come on. Paul and Silas were in prison. They didn't let their situation determine their praise. They let their praise determine their situation. Those in Joshua, like I mentioned earlier, back in the Bible, in the Old Testament, if they were determined by their situation, they would have been walking around those walls and then they'd still be there now. But the reason they fell wasn't because they walked around the walls, but it's because they praised. And so I'm here to tell you tonight, there are some people that are going to get set free, and it's because of your praise. And it's so important that we don't just praise in a moment, but that we live a lifestyle of praise. We live a lifestyle of praise. You know, I don't know, I've heard some people say, oh, what if I don't feel like praising? What if, you know, I don't really feel like it in the moment? Or, you know, I'm not that loud, clappy person. I'm just a nonchalant person. Well, do I have a sermon for you, am I right? You know, sometimes, you know, I'll be honest, sometimes I don't feel like praising. I'm like, okay, I'll mentally prepare, like, all right, we're gonna praise God. But something that I love that I've learned recently from a pastor, his name is Pastor Russell Evans. He's coming to our conference, which is very exciting. Put your hand up if you've registered for conference. Oh yeah, if you haven't, that's all good. You should register soon, because otherwise you'll just keep paying more money. Anyways, Pastor Russell Evans, he's the lead pastor of a church called Planet Shakers. You know some of those really fun songs we've been doing recently by Planet Boom? That's his youth ministry. So his youth ministry is the one releasing all these amazing songs. And something that he says is when people ask him, oh, what do I do if I don't feel like praising? You know, some people, they say, you know, I just want to be authentic to myself. You know, I just want to be me. I don't want to feel like I'm forcing it. Has anyone felt like that before? Yeah. This is what Pastor Russell says. He says, are we being authentic to our flesh? Are we being authentic to our soul? Or are we being authentic to our spirit? You know, if you didn't know, we are created in the image of God. That means that we are triune beings. That means, if you don't know what that means, it means we have a body, we have a soul, which is our like mind, our will, and our emotions, and we have a spirit. You know, when we get saved, God sends the Holy Spirit to come and reside in us. And so I would argue that the spirit is more you than the flesh is. I would argue that the spirit in you is more you than your soul is. And the real you, the spirit, hungers for God's presence. The real you, the spirit, desires to praise God. The Holy Spirit within us desires to praise Jesus with all that we have. And you may say, it's not my personality to clap and to shout, but I'm here to tell you today that I don't really care. With love in my heart, because the Bible tells us in Psalm 47 verse 1, clap your hands, all you nations. Shout to God with cries of joy. Psalm 98 verse 4, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. You know, the real you, the spirit you, wants to jump up and down, wants to praise God, wants to, you know, get crazy in the praise pit for Jesus. The real you wants to dance. Come on. Registration's open. Nah, I don't know. I'm not in that world. But the real you, the spirit you, wants to jump up and down and praise God. I'd love to invite the worship team as well to join me in. You know, for me, I have this one real clear moment in my mind that I can think of with this. And so when I got saved, you know, I came from a non-Christian home. I didn't grow up going to church or anything. And so I'd come to youth or I'd come to church and I'd see those people like jumping up and down and praising and like going crazy during worship, clapping and yelling and praising God. And I was like, oh, that's cool. That's not me, but you can do you, you know, like I'll praise and worship however I want, but you do you, you know? And so that was sort of how I would see it. That's how it would go for me. And I remember this one time I was on this very stage and I was actually leading worship, and I looked to my friend Connor, who was leading with me. Do you guys know Connor? Yeah. We were leading worship together, and I look over at him, and he was like going for it. He was jumping up and down. He was praising Jesus. It was like probably a super glorious moment. And I remember looking at him being like, wow, I just don't feel to do that. So I'm just like, oh, I'm gonna just do my own thing. You know, maybe when everyone else starts jumping up and down, maybe then I'll start jumping. And maybe when other people start like praising God and yelling and screaming and whatever, I'll do the same. You know, maybe when the room starts to, you know, lift up a bit, then I'll start jumping around and praising God. And I remember just in my relationship with Jesus, just learning that it's not about what I think. It's not about what I'm feeling. It's not about what I want to do. You know, if it was me, I would probably have a chair right now, just being honest. But it's not about what I want to do. It's actually about what God wants to do. It says in... I was going to make a joke that there's don't sit on a chair Bible verse, but there's not. We'll just move on. And so I had this revelation moment where I was like, okay, it's not about what I want, but it's about what Jesus wants. You know, Jesus deserves my praise. Jesus is worthy of it all. You know, Jesus is worth me clapping. Jesus is worth me jumping up and down. Jesus is worth me praising and yelling and dancing. You know, Jesus is worth it all. And it wasn't until Wednesday night, 2 days ago, we had our campus prayer right here in this building. And if you've never been to a campus prayer, it's glorious. You should definitely come. It's where we as a church, we gather every 4 weeks on a Wednesday night. We pray here for an hour from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. And we were in a time of praise and worship that was amazing. And I was standing there, I was worshiping, and I had this thought in my mind. Like I was like praising, giving it all to God, but I also had this thought that happens sometimes. And I had this thought, I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm that guy. I'm that dude who's like jumping up and down and praising. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm that guy who's like yelling and clapping and jumping. It's a slow song, but I'm just going for it. You know, I had this thought, I was like, wow, I'm that guy. Not in that way, relax. I'm not that guy. But I was like, wow, I'm the dude who praises like that. And it hit me that it wasn't about me, you know, trying harder. It wasn't like, oh, okay, I'm a leader at Nations. Okay, I gotta clap loud. I gotta sing loud. I gotta stand down the front. It wasn't about that at all. It's about the revelation God had put inside of me to live a lifestyle of praise. Is that revelation God put in my spirit, that it doesn't matter what day I've had, doesn't matter if I want to do it or not, but I'm going to clap my hands, I'm going to yell, I'm going to praise Jesus, I'm going to stomp my feet, I'm going to dance, I'm going to do a cartwheel, whatever it is. I had that revelation in my spirit that was what I wanted to do. And you know, I learned that we need to have and live a lifestyle of praise. So in order to be a Chalant Christian, you need to live a lifestyle of praise. So maybe you're in this place and you really relate to what I've been saying. You relate to my story that I just shared. You know, you feel like sometimes you don't want to praise. Sometimes you're like, you know what, it's 9:45 at summer camp. It's the final session. We've done 10 more songs already. How many more songs can we really do? If that's you, that's okay. But I'm here to encourage you that Jesus has more for you. Yes. It's not about what you want. Yes. It's about what He has done for us and our response to that. So maybe you're in this place and you relate to what I said. Maybe you relate to my story. Maybe you feel in this place that you relate to my earlier story about the fear of man. That you really feel like you feel bound. You feel like you can't respond because of you're feeling nervous or anxious or worried about what other people think or say. Maybe you're in this place and you're in need of some real specific breakthrough. Maybe you feel like, you know, God needs to heal you of something, or maybe, like I said, it's that fear of man thing holding you back. I believe that God is here and wants to meet with you. Or maybe you're in this place and you just feel like you need to repent of being nonchalant. Maybe you're like, you know what? If I'm honest, I've gotten familiar to the things of God. Maybe God is tugging on your heart in this moment. Or maybe you're just here and you want a fresh touch of the joy of the Lord. God is here tonight to meet with you. He's here. He's here. Do you feel Him? Amazing. Before we open up this altar space, I would love to pray for some people. I really feel like there's some people in this place who don't yet know Jesus. And so if you're in this place and you've been hearing me talk about God, you've been hearing me talk about Jesus, and you're like, what is that? Who is that? Well, let me tell you. Thousands of years ago, we as humans made a mistake. And we regularly make mistakes. And that actually separates us from God. We as Christians, can do nothing to actually earn our way to be back in right standing with God. We've actually all made a mistake. It says in the Bible that all have fallen short of the glory of God. That just means there's nothing that we can do to ever account for what we've done. But God is so loving that He sent His Son, Jesus, who is also God, to come down to earth, live a perfect, sinless, blameless life, and take the punishment for our sin. You know, you might have seen a cross before. That is something that Jesus died on. And He did this so that we could be made righteous before God once again. And so He didn't just do this 2,000 years ago just for the fun of it, but He did it so that we can come into relationship with Him. And so the God that I'm talking about, it's not just some figure that I've heard about, or a deity that's dead, or, you know, doesn't have any involvement in my life. That's just a set of rules that I have to follow. But no, He's a living, breathing God who wants to have a relationship with you. So with every eye closed in this place, every head bowed, if you're in here and you're like, you know what, Jackson, I would love to meet this Jesus. I would love to get to know this guy. Maybe you're here and this is the first time you've ever heard this story. Or maybe you've heard it a few times before and you feel like now's your night. I want to encourage you. He loves you. He has a plan and a purpose for you. And He wants to know you. So with every eye closed, if I'm talking about you and you're here and you're saying, yes, you know, I want to make a decision to meet with Jesus, to get to know Jesus, I just want you to lift your hand right now, wherever you are. Just lift your hand. Wherever you are in this place. Thank you, Jesus. Christians, you can pray with me. Yeah, I see that hand. I see that hand. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Go on, keep those eyes closed. Is there anyone here who wants to make that decision? Just slip your hand up now. You know, Jesus is the best decision you could have ever made. Yeah, I see that other hand. Come on, so good. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, is there anyone else? Anyone else in this place who wants to make this decision? Thank you, Jesus. Come on, we're going to give this moment another 30 seconds. I really feel that there's some more people who want to make this decision to follow Jesus. You can put your hand up if that's you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Now, I don't see... Oh, is that one more? Yeah, I see that hand. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, why don't we stand on our feet in this place? You know, it says in the Bible that when just one sinner repents and follows Jesus, that all of heaven rejoices. And so we're going to pray a prayer together, and I'd love if we could all say these lines after me. And then we're going to praise, we're going to go crazy, we're going to clap, because these people have just entered heaven. And so why don't you repeat after me? Lord Jesus, I thank you for what you've done. I thank you that you love me, that you died for me, and that you rose again. I choose you as Lord and Savior over my life, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Come on, let's praise. Oh, you are worthy, God. So good. Praise Jesus for those hands. You know, if that was you and you're in this place and you made that decision, we actually have a small gift. We'd love to get into your hand, and we'd love to just get some of your contact information so that we can stay in touch. And so there's some people on this side who've got these beautiful flashlights. You know, you see that beautiful, that door, that's actually Gate Beautiful. No, I'm joking. But we have a gift we'd love to give to you. And so if that is you, if you made that decision, we're going to go crazy. We're going to clap. We're going to applaud as you exit and get this gift. And so if that's you, you can go now. Maybe turn to the person next to you and be like, hey, did you put up your hand? Come on, let's keep giving it up for these guys as they go. Let's go. These are people coming home. Let's go. Woo! So good. So good. Wow. How good is that? I love seeing people get saved. Just does something so special to your heart, don't you reckon, Pastor Matt? Woo. You know, before we opened the altar, I just really felt in my spirit, and as us as a team were praying this week, we really felt like in this place there are going to be some people that are almost like catalysts to joy. They're going to be like catalysts to the joy of the Lord breaking out in this room. If you don't know what a catalyst is, in a scientific thing, you add a catalyst to something to make the reaction speed up. And so in this place, I believe there are some people who are going to respond to the voice of God in their life and praise Jesus however God tells them. And I believe as that happens, that the whole room is going to erupt in praise. That these guys are going to be like trailblazers and lead the way for the whole room to respond in joy. And I want to tell you a quick story from our good friend, Pastor Russell. We all know and love him by now. Russo, I call him. Just me and Joe have that connection with him though, so just don't tell him I said that. But he was once at a conference in South Australia, and he was the Youth Alive director at the time, and he was sitting in the conference, and he really felt in his spirit that God told him to like go and run around the room. Has anyone seen anyone like run around the room before? Yeah, you see all those hands? He was like, I've never known anyone to run around the room. He was like, God just, he put it in my spirit, but he was like, I've never seen anyone do that. That seems crazy. And so he leaned over to his wife and he was like, hey, I feel like I should do this. And she was like, yeah, you should do it. He's like, nah. Like, it's all good. It's all good. I won't do it. He's like, I don't want to look like an idiot. She's like, why'd you even ask? And then what happened was the preacher was preaching. I don't know, maybe they got to the ministry time. And he came over to Pastor Russell. I'm going to use Matt as my Russo example. Matt, you've broken me. You've broken me here. And the preacher went to Pastor Russell and he's like, Russell, run. And then Russell's like, okay. And then he started running around the room and he did it and he was like, whoa, I feel like an idiot. And he came back to his seat and was like, wow, that didn't feel as cool as it looked. And he's like, well, it also didn't look cool. That's what his wife said. But what happened is, from that time, he was like, okay, God, like, I'm sure something happened. And then people started coming up to him. The first dude came up to him and was like, hey, I saw you run around the room. And he was like, all right, here we go. Like, this is going to be cool. And then he was like, that's so weird. And he was like, oh, cool. Yeah, nice. Yeah, nah, thanks, bro. Appreciate the encouragement. That guy left. Another pastor came up. Hey, Pastor Russell, what the heck were you doing? That was wild. I know he said run, but you're crazy, man. And another dude came up. I feel like I'm telling a joke, but it's just a real story. Another dude came up and was like, Pastor Russell, that was wild what you did. Like, I can't believe you'd run around the room. That's crazy. And he was like, wow, three no's. Oh, three people that being like, that was weird. And it was like, oh, that was discouraging. Thanks a lot for that, God. And then up came a fourth person and was like, you know, Pastor Russell, what you did there was so awesome. I felt the glory of God come as soon as you run. And he was like, oh, that's cool. And then another person came up. I was like, Pastor Russell, when you ran around the room, I felt the joy of the Lord. And then a third person came up. Pastor Russell, that was glorious what you did. I can't believe that you would have the faith and the boldness to run around the room. And who here knows our God always wins? So then up came a fourth person. It's like, Pastor Russell, wow, I can't believe that you would do that. That's so awesome. Praise Jesus. If you didn't realize, 3 and 4, number of completion, just isn't God good? And so I really feel in this moment, maybe you feel that tug in your spirit of God being like, hey, I want you to go run around the room. Or maybe you feel God in your spirit saying, hey, I want you to jump up and down as high as you can. Or maybe you feel God in your spirit to say, hey, I want you to clap. I want you to shout. I want you to praise. Whatever it is, I want to give you permission right now, as long as you're not harming anyone else, to do whatever you feel God tell you to do. Pastor Matt has a crazy kicking thing when he just loves to... No, I'm joking. And so I believe that God is going to tell some people to respond to Him in such an extravagant way. It might feel crazy, but I believe as you do, you're going to be like a catalyst for the joy of the Lord in this room. This whole room is going to erupt with praise, with adoration and worship to Jesus. I believe that the joy of the Lord is going to pour out in this space. And so are you guys ready? Are you guys ready to praise Jesus? So wherever you are, unless you have a burning thing in your head from God to tell you to come up the front, I don't want you to come up the front unless God said. But if you said to run around the room, do your thing. But I just want to leave this space open for the time being to pray for some people, unless God said. And so on the count of three, we're going to go. We're just going to lift a shout of praise. And I want you to do whatever you feel God telling you to do. Does that make sense? Beautiful. And so on the count of three, one, two, three. Oh, we praise you, Lord. You are worthy, Jesus. Feels a bit more joyful. Come on. Right now in this moment, I'm going to invite you to come to the front in a moment. If you feel to respond to any of these things, you know, maybe when I mentioned people repenting of being nonchalant, I really feel like God's going to set some people free in this altar space here. God's going to set some people free. There's going to be tears. There's going to be more tears. There's going to be some snot. There's going to be some earwax. Hey, it gets crazy up in here. I believe that as people begin to repent of being nonchalant, that God is going to set them free in this moment. That fear of man. I believe there's some people in this place who maybe you're not like, hey, I'm not nonchalant, but I'm struggling with the fear of man. I feel like God wants to set you free right here as well. Maybe you're like, hey, I've wanted to go and tell people about Jesus, but I just feel bound. I just feel like I can't do it. God's going to set you free right here. Maybe you're like me and you're in a family of unbelievers. I feel like there's a specific anointing here. I feel like there's a specific anointing for you to have boldness to talk to your family. If that's you, if you're in any of those three categories, I just want you to come now. Take a step of faith. Come now. Fill this front altar. It's okay. No one's looking around. If you want to repent of, I'll remind you of what they are. If you want to repent of being nonchalant, if you want to, you know, be set free from the fear of man, maybe you're like me, you want to be set free of that fear. And I believe there's a specific anointing coming upon people for their non-Christian families to share the love of Jesus in their families. Thank you, Jesus. When every person just, if you're not responding, just stretch out your hands to these people at the front. Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for these people who've responded. I pray, come and fill them like a mighty rushing wind now with your Holy Spirit. With your Holy Spirit, come upon them now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the love of God. Thank you, Jesus, for the peace that surpasses all understanding. Thank you, Lord God, for boldness, for courage, for strength. Thank you, Lord God. If you're at the back, just begin to pray in tongues. Pray in the Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Come on, keep pressing in. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, reach out, press into Jesus, press into God. If you're in those back sections, just continue to pray in the Spirit. Reach out to these people, stretch out your hands. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Place and you're in need of some breakthrough. Maybe you're here and you need healing. Maybe you're here and maybe you're not even sure what you need. You just know you need more of God. Maybe you want a touch from the joy of the Lord. I want to invite you to come now. Just begin to fill this front section. And if there's leaders in this place, I want you to go and pray. Feel free to lay hands. Feel free to ask what they're specifically responding for, but we're going to worship in a moment, and then I just really feel that God is here, and I feel like he wants to speak to people. He wants to set people free. So every person, just lift your hands. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to minister. We're going to worship. And so, Lord God, I thank you that you're here. I thank you that you're moving, Jesus. I pray, Father, for your anointing that breaks the yoke to fill this place. I thank you for the Holy Spirit. Would you come like a mighty rushing wind and speak to every person? I pray, Lord God, for the anointing to come upon your sons and your daughters. I pray, Jesus, for where people are struggling with the fear of man. I pray for a break now in Jesus' name. I pray, Lord God, where people are feeling oppressed or where they're feeling nervous or anxious, I pray would you break it now in Jesus' name. I pray, Lord God, where people are struggling with depression and, suicidal thoughts, I pray would you replace the spirit of heaviness with a garment of praise now in Jesus' mighty name. So we thank you, God, for what you're going to do in every single person in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, God. Come on, let's worship. Let's worship.
There is no one like you.
actually step into. You know, we've been worshiping, we've been, you know, singing, we've been declaring what God has done, but I really feel like God has something specific for us tonight in praise. I feel like God has something specific for us when we begin to praise Jesus, when we begin to declare of His goodness, when we begin to lift our voice and say, you will be praised, you will be praised, you will be praised, you will be praised. Oh, we thank you, Jesus, that you will be praised. Oh, we worship you, Lord. We praise you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. Come on, Nadine, why don't you lead us?
Are you Lord? Or you will be praised. Or you will be praised with angels and saints.
Come on, press in now. Let's sing this out. You will.
Are you Lord? Or you will be praised.
Oh,
you will be praised.
joy of the Lord? Come on. Now, I believe here Jesus is not yet done. Come on, hey. I believe that as we continue to praise Him, He has more and more that He wants to do in your life. You know, we're going to sing this song in just a moment called Till the Walls Come Down. Oh, yeah. Absolute banger. Written by our friend Russell's church. But as we praise God, the lyrics say, I will praise you, I will praise you till the walls come down, till the walls come down. And as we praise Him, I believe the spirit of fear is coming off. I believe the fear of man is coming off. And I believe there is breakthrough available for you. And so every person lift up a shout of praise to Jesus. But
Before we jump into this praise, I just really get the sense, even as Jacko was sharing at the end of that sermon, that there will be individuals in this room that God would invite you to do something radical that you've never done before. It might be one or two people, but just be honest in this place. Like, only lift your hand if you're really true on this, but you really felt the prompting of the Spirit to get undignified and start dancing before the Lord. When we were worshiping before, is there someone in this place and you're like, man, I really felt led to dance? Those two back there, awesome. One, two. Is anyone else? You really felt, got two. Yeah, you as well. You too. Okay. Wait. What I really feel, I'm glad, because I really feel there's only like five or six people, but you know, the world tells us that don't be different, don't stand out and fit in with everyone else. But the thing I loved is that in Acts 3, the scripture Jackson preached on today, is that the man was healed, but then he was walking, leaping, and praising God, and everybody saw him. And it was as everybody saw him that it actually set something free. And I really feel like for those six people, wherever you are, that this is a moment that something's going to shift and break off your life. And as we praise the Lord through this song, whether it's choreographed or not, I actually want to invite those six people to come and dance before the Lord on this platform in front of everybody. Because the enemy will say, oh, no, don't make attention. Don't let people see you. But I just believe as you dance before the Lord in front of the whole congregation, something's going to shift in your life. Something's going to break. And I feel like it. This is going to be a hallmark moment for those people where they literally leave the life of fear. That man got healed. How many of you know he never went back to that beggar's mat? He lived walking, leaping, and praising. So those six people right now, jump on the platform, those that lifted your hands before. And however it looks, anywhere on the platform, as we praise the Lord, I want you to be ministering to God. Our dance team as well, you guys come and minister. But team, Jacko, that's what I just really felt led to do. And I just believe as you, for lack of better words, as we celebrate and make it normal to get over ourselves and realize that praise isn't about people looking at us, praise is about people looking at Jesus. And as David said, I wasn't dancing for the people, I was dancing before the Lord. And so if you want to dance, you dance right where you are. You can run around. You do whatever you want to do it for the Lord. But I believe God's shifting it in something in us tonight as we praise Him. So team, can we worship? Can we praise the Lord? Come on, let's lift up a shout of praise right now. Oh, we praise you, Jesus. Come on, lift your hands.
For everything that you have done, I'm filled with joy. praise you till the walls come down, till the walls come down. I'ma praise you, I'ma praise you till the walls come down.
Come sing it out, hey!
I'ma praise you, I'ma praise.
Praising my spirit tonight. Is that okay? All right, it's 9:02, so right after this, the service ends, but I need you to know two things. Everyone say two things. Number one, right after our service in our foyer, we are filming testimonies of things God has done. So if God has moved in your life tonight or this term or this year, whether in a service or in your own life, we want to capture that. We want to celebrate that. We want to praise God with you. Make sure you find the camera team. They'll be filming testimony after testimony. Even if you're young or old, you're a leader, we want to capture that. Everyone say announcement number two. As we'll see you next Friday. And in 2 weeks' time, we have Unite Night. It's going to be incredible right here. Everyone, bring everyone. But I don't know about you guys. I think he's the name above all names. The other one, the hoo-hoo, the praise God. All right. Let's go.
Come on, let's go.
Hey.
Let's sing it out.
Thank you for today that you have made. I give you all the glory and I give you all the praise. Thank you for the breath inside my lungs. Thank you for your grace that's never given up. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. And if you believe in him, then you've done already once. So praise God.
Hey! Hey!
So praise God.
Hey! Set me free, not living for this moment, I can see eternity. Thank you for your joy, it gives me strength. Thank you for your spirit leading, water never ends.
Hey!
For God to love the world, that he gave his only son. And if you believe in him, then he's done already once. So praise God,
hey!
Praise God,
hey!
So praise God,
hey!
Praise God,
hey!
Rejoice!
good. Well, it is 9:06 p.m. We love you. I love you. You know, between you and I, we're not going to do one more song now, but there's a new one that just came out last night that you should listen to by Planet Boom called I Declare, I Decree. So give it a listen on your drive home. We love you. See you next week. United we stand. Give someone a hug as you leave.